Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
One end zone caught. Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to Tuesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Lance Meadow with you for the next 60 minutes as we break down all that is happening with respect to the New York Giants. Two ways to interact with us here on the program. We'll get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. You could also send in your questions and your comments via Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat, and you can follow and interact with me directly at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. So let's get to the news of the day, and there's a few items that I want to certainly get to throughout the course of the program, and we'll take your phone calls, and you want to get into a variety of different topics. Certainly, we don't shy away callers on the course of this program. First up, the Giants re-signed two players who are on the roster yesterday to continue to add depth to this roster. They re-signed John Jerry, who started all 16 games at right guard last season. If you recall, he was brought in prior to the season from the Miami Dolphins after spending four seasons there. Dealt with a knee injury during the course of training camp, but he played that final preseason game. And then, due to some injuries that occurred on the offensive line, John Jerry was a mainstay on the line at that right guard spot, and he played the entirety of the season. So they're going to bring him back, and he'll certainly be in the mix to reclaim his starting job, as well as some of the other players that they brought in, such as Marshall Newhouse, who was one of their recent free agent signings, who was with the Green Bay Packers and the Cincinnati Bengals. The other player who they re-signed was Shockey Brown. Shockey Brown, if you recall, came in mid-season after he was let go by the Baltimore Ravens. He took the spot of Prince Amukamara, who missed the season, the majority of the season, I should say, with that biceps injury. And Shockey Brown, every game that he was in, his numbers progressively increased. He got more familiar with the system. And the Giants did a nice job on Giants.com announcing the re-signings, throwing out his numbers. And you know, he had an impressive game against Jacksonville, had seven tackles, five solo. That was certainly one of his standout games. And then one of the last few games against the Washington Redskins, the Rams, and the Eagles, consistent numbers in terms of his tackling ability. And it brings me to the topic of the depth that the Giants are starting to put together here on the roster. And I know there's been a lot of chatter on this program, and a lot of the fans are starting to look over the free agents that are out there on the market, determining who may the Giants go after. But you know, I think it's important to focus also who the Giants currently have on the roster. And speaking of Shockey Brown, one position, and this was a prevalent discussion last season, where there's a lot of depth is the cornerback position. Unfortunately, they dealt with their fair share of injuries at that position last season, but penciled in, you have Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie and Prince Amukamara as the two starting corners. Tremaine McBride, who has versatility and can play the slot. You know, you have him as your third option. Bennett Jackson, remember, was on the practice squad all of last season, and he was injured. Their seventh-round pick out of Notre Dame, he's going to have an opportunity to continue to work up the depth chart this season, assuming he's back to full health. Shockey Brown, who's familiar with the system, comes back for now a full season with the Giants. And the other thing to note with respect to Shockey Brown, you know, he came over from Baltimore. Who else came over from Baltimore? Steve Spagnuolo. So that is a player that is familiar with Spags and vice versa. And that can only help, especially with Spags bringing on his new defensive philosophy as they're trying to reacclimate themselves to Spags, as well as what worked so effectively when he was the defensive coordinator. So that is a storyline to at least monitor as we move ahead throughout the course of the offseason. Wide receiver, another position where there is a great amount of depth as we get set for OTAs and training camp. In terms of players that are going to come back to full health in Victor Cruz, Odell Beckham looking to build off his impressive rookie campaign. They re-signed Kevin Ogletree earlier this season. You have Corey Washington, who certainly made a name for himself during the course of training camp. There's going to be a lot of battles at that wide receiver spot, and if anything, that's going to make this team that much more better. Reuben Randall, a name that I hadn't mentioned, a very strong finish to last season. He'll have an opportunity once again to solidify a spot as at least the number two or the number three wide receiver, depending on Victor Cruz's health. And one other wide receiver that did not get a lot of chatter last season because he got hurt, but it's a player that Giants fans should refresh their memory on is Marcus Harris, who was very impressive during the course of training camp. He was actually up there in terms of receptions, if you recall. Unfortunately, got hurt. He was put on IR and therefore did not make that final 53-man roster. But if he could pick up where he left off, that's another name that adds even more depth to the nucleus at the wide receiver spot. Running back is another position that the Giants have addressed during the course of free agency as well as during the course of the draft. You could potentially have a 1-2-3 punch with the likes of Rashad Jennings, looking to come back from a fair share of injuries that he dealt with during the course of last season. Andre Williams, a strong rookie campaign, and the addition of Shane Vereen, who comes over from the New England Patriots. And if you look at some of the seasons in which the Giants have had very strong, consistent running games, a lot of it was during campaigns when they had multiple options, such as three running backs. So they're certainly looking to piggyback off of some of those prior seasons in which they have set the tone on the ground. And a lot of that, obviously, is determined based on the offensive line. And the reason why we're talking about John Jerry and players like Marshall Newhouse, you need those options who can play multiple positions, who you can move them left to right just to protect yourself from injuries. And John Jerry is a player who has played multiple positions during the course of his career. If you look at his track record with Miami, and that was beneficial for the Giants because they unfortunately suffered some injuries and they had to move him around, and he wound up solidifying the right guard spot. Marshall Newhouse, who played with the Packers and the Bengals, he's been at left tackle, he's been at right tackle. That is somebody of versatility, who a player like that can come in the event that something happens that you didn't necessarily expect. So you always need those type of players. And the one offensive lineman that I constantly bring up, because so many seasons his true value was showcased based on how many different positions they put him in, was Kevin Booth. Now, Booth was a player. He could play center. He could play guard. You need that. You need that type of value on your depth chart, because injuries are a part of the game, and the Giants have dealt with that over the last few seasons. But what separates a lot of teams from the rest of the pack is having that extra player who can be slid into a variety of spots. And I think the Giants right now, you look at the corner position, you look at the wide receiver spot, the offensive line, you've got some options that are going to foster competition during the course of OTAs and training camp. So a few storylines certainly to watch in terms of the position battles. And as I mentioned, the big news of the day, re-signing John Jerry and re-signing Shockey Brown. The other thing that I want to mention, unrelated to necessarily X's and O's and roster moves, there is a competition up on Giants.com, and you should certainly check it out over the next few weeks. And this is in connection to the theme of March Madness. The Giants have put together their own bracket in terms of the top plays at MetLife Stadium. And if you go to Giants.com, you'll see an entire bracket, and you can watch the highlights to determine who you want to vote. But head to the website, check that out. It's a fun competition and certainly an opportunity for you to interact with some of the plays that have come to the forefront in recent history at MetLife Stadium. There's 16 plays. They have been selected, and voting is now open for the first round. It's Giants.com/NYG bracket. And what we'll do as we get into the later rounds, we'll give you the results here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. And if you want to weigh in your opinion on what you think the best standout play at MetLife Stadium is, feel free to weigh in. If we peruse currently what's up on the website, you know, there's a number of plays that come to mind, and certainly Victor Cruz has a handful of them. I mean, when has Victor Cruz not put his handprints on the stadium? He's had a number of big plays in terms of the play against the New York Jets when he broke through for that big run late in the regular season to help the Giants get into the playoffs in the 2011 campaign. That is certainly one that jumps off the page, and that is one of the ones that is getting heavy consideration. Dominic Hickson, his juggling act touchdown, is another one that certainly jumps out. There's a play via David Wilson. Victor Cruz, as I mentioned, all over the place. And the one that is given that probably is the one that's going to win when it's all said and done, at least personally, I'd find it hard to believe that a play would top this, is certainly the Odell Beckham catch against the Dallas Cowboys this past season. It's not necessarily the best play in MetLife Stadium history. It could be given consideration as one of the best catches in NFL history. And that's just another example of the impact that Odell Beckham has had on this organization in a very short period of time. 201-939-4513. That is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. You can follow and interact with me directly at Lance Meadow. One word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. We're going to open up the phone lines. Whatever topic you want to get into, you want to discuss the fact that the Giants have re-signed a few players to add depth to this roster. We can talk about free agency as well as the upcoming draft. Certainly a lot to tackle as we take you till the top of the hour here on Giants.com. Let's open up the phone lines to get festivities started. We check in with JD in Virginia. JD, welcome to the program. What you have for us?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well, JD. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. I have a really, really, really big favor to ask of you.
Okay, we'll
and
see if we can cater.
Is, hey, I know you can handle it. No one else in this world can handle it. You, my friend, can handle this. I want to know, please let me know, because I look at, you know, I look at the Twitter feeds and I see who's going where, like case in point, Greg Hardy is visiting the Cowboys, and I see all these other teams that have different activity, and it seems as though the Giants have just gone. It seems, now, I know that they don't have a lot of money, and I just want to make sure that the Giants are done in free agency, because it's like it gets a little frustrating when you see different different free agents that were out there, and I'm like, okay, that person really could have helped the Giants out. Okay, is there any – basically, in short, put me out of my misery and let me know that the Giants are pretty much done with free agency, and right now they're focusing on the draft.
Well, they're focusing on a variety of different facets of the NFL offseason. To answer your question, JD, free agency never ends. Now, free agency goes all the way up to training camp because you're always keeping your options open to determine if there's somebody on the market that could fit in and if for some reason you suffer an injury during the course of OTA. So to put an end date on free agency for not just the Giants or any team is virtually impossible. They're balancing the goal for the draft. They're also looking at options off the field, and they're monitoring the whereabouts of the players currently on the roster. I think it's an ongoing process. Free agency never ends. And what you need to keep in mind, you know, you were talking about you look on Twitter and you see the chatter about this player is visiting this team and so forth. You know, there's a lot of factors that are involved into whether or not a player is a good fit for a team. There's the financial side of things, whether or not a team has enough cap space. What you may see on the field and be attractive to you as an individual and as all of us as fans, you know, the personnel department for this team as well as the other department, you know, they're looking at their own factors. So, you know, I think you need to keep a lot of that into consideration when you just look at the name. And I think as NFL fans, a lot of people get caught up in names and we think big names are the only people that can help teams. For example, you know, depth is an important element of putting together a 53-man roster. And sometimes it's those back-end players or even the undrafted players. I mean, think about Giants history and the players that weren't big names when they first came into the league. Victor Cruz is one of them, and Victor Cruz has turned into one of the superstars in the National Football League. So I think the Giants have a good track record of sometimes finding these gems in unknown places, and they all of a sudden emerge, and they're not necessarily a household name. So you have to at least keep that in mind when you monitor on Twitter and you look and make your own conclusions about players.
Oh yeah, true. But at the same time, it's like, you, I mean, of course, I try not to get caught up in names, but you know, you do see those people that were actually, because if you notice how I always say that whenever you look at free agency, you look at that person, you try to figure out, okay, was that person made famous, or did he get the notoriety he got, was because of the system that he was in, or was it because of the actual player? You see what I'm saying? So
well,
that's one thing to look at.
And I didn't mean to cut you off, JD. The Seattle Seahawks comes to mind as a team with the point that you're referring to, because a lot of the players who were the backups to Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, we're seeing now, if you notice, go on to other teams, such as Byron Maxwell, who had been a starter the last few seasons, so he's now going into a new system with Philadelphia, and the Giants will certainly see their fair share of Maxwell. I think it's important now this season to determine, well, was Maxwell a product of the Seahawks system, or is Maxwell a good physical corner who can emerge and flourish in every system? Jerron Johnson, right, the backup safety to Cam Chancellor, as well as Earl Thomas. He just signed with the Washington Redskins. Certainly a lot of connections to the NFC East, so the Giants are going to see him as well. He was mainly a special teamer with Seattle because obviously he didn't have enough opportunity to start given they had players ahead of him. Was he a product of the Seattle system, or can he now flourish on his own? And that's something, and I think you hit on a good point, that every team has to evaluate when they look at perhaps players who weren't everyday starters with their previous team and are now on the market. If we put him in our system, can he flourish as a starter even though he hasn't had many reps in that department?
I concur. I greatly appreciate the time. Love the show. Don't ever stop doing the show. And also, the last thing I want to say is, Antro Roll, you are missed. Have a good day.
You got it, JD, and appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in on the conversation. I thought a number of good points that JD brought up, not just related to the Giants, but just the big picture in terms of NFL philosophy with respect to the offseason and how you go about evaluating players. Let's head back to the phone lines, and we have Dick in Oregon. Dick, what's happening? Dick, are you there? Dick happens
to
be.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, you're here, Dick. What's happening? What do you got for us?
Oh, hi, Lance.
We hear you, Dick.
Hi, Lance.
Yeah,
my big question is, everybody keeps talking about us drafting a defensive edge rusher in the first round, and it doesn't make sense. We already have four defensive ends. Why would we want to draft another one? I think we should be going with the offensive lineman.
Well, if you're referring to the game of speculation, Dick, in terms of where the Giants may go with that ninth overall pick, I've heard a variety of different things online, so I'm reading as much chatter as you're seeing, and everybody's going to have their difference of opinion. I think when you look at the defensive line, as you just alluded to, there are plenty of internal options that are now going to have an opportunity to step up and probably get additional playing time. DeMontre Moore is a player who is looking to become more of a balanced individual in terms of getting to the quarterback as well as stopping the run. With Mathias Kiwanuka no longer on the team, more playing time could come his way. Jonathan Hankins is coming off a stellar sophomore campaign in which he got to the quarterback, helped stop the run. So that's another option who they have on the defensive line. They gave JPP the franchise tag. We know his resume. We don't necessarily have to go over that. There are a number of options. Robert Ayers would be another person that I would throw out there. And I think the Giants, as well as Spags coming in as the new defensive coordinator, they're first going to look at what they have before they determine and jump the gun and determine who they want to necessarily bring in. With respect to the offensive line, there's certainly a few offensive linemen that I can see falling to the Giants at number nine. Brandon Scherff is one player in particular, the tackle out of Iowa, who has versatility. I think he can be moved around to either side. Then again, it really depends on where the Giants want to go. They always look to pick the best talent at that number nine position. When you look at the offensive line, they just re-signed John Jerry. They brought in Marshall Newhouse, so I think they have some options to foster competition. There's some chatter. There's speculation. There's nothing definitive from the Giants about whether or not maybe Justin Pugh is going to be moved around on the line. Nothing hardcore to go with that. But if we were to play the hypothetical game, and let's say Justin Pugh is experimented with during the course of OTAs and training camp, and he's moved around, perhaps there is a need to bring in another option at tackle, and therefore I could see perhaps they go in the direction of an offensive line. But right now, that once again is pure speculation. I don't think the Giants are in a position where they can go wrong in a variety of different spots, because if you look at what happened over the last few seasons, Dick, in terms of the injury bug, you can never have depth at multiple positions. You know, they were impacted at the running back position last year. They were impacted at the offensive line position. They were impacted at the corner spot. And what happened is they had to bring in a couple of guys from teams elsewhere. And what happens is in the middle of the season, they have to learn the system and there's an adjustment period. So depth is an important element no matter what position you're talking about. If they were to add another defensive lineman, I don't think that would hurt them, because if anything, it would bring in another player who is going to be young, upcoming, and add more competition to the veterans and some of the young guys that they already have in the mix.
But do you think that would be the greater need when you already have four, so you've got a rotation over somewhere where you actually don't have a rotation in the offensive line?
Well, you're talking let me clarify here. Are you saying that you'd rather have the rotation with the offensive line because you think there's enough substance for a rotation on the defensive line? Is that the point you're making?
Yeah, that's the point I was trying to make. I probably misstated it, but that's what I was trying to say, that if I was picking number one or number nine, I'd want to get the weaker position, which looks like the offensive line, over the stronger position, the defensive line.
Well, if you look at – well, I understand where you're going, but if you look at the defensive line, and if your point is they have depth and they have options, and I would agree with you, but if you look at how Spags has run his defense in the past and you look at how the Giants have utilized personnel, they like to sometimes rotate people, and this is how you keep defensive linemen fresh come the fourth quarter, where you have multiple looks that you're presenting to your offense. So while you say there's depth there, and I would agree once again, if you brought in another option, that's just another player that you could rotate within the mix, whether it be a pass rusher or somebody on the interior. And Jay Bromley, by the way, is another player I should add to the mix who got some playing time in the later stages of the season who could certainly add some depth to that interior position. All right, Dick.
Okay, well,
you
appreciate
got it.
Your talking to me, and I'll let you go now. Talk to you later.
Sounds good. Appreciate the phone call, Dick. Thanks so much for weighing in. Now, the offensive line, if you look at the options that they'll have coming back, Jeff Schwartz recovering from injury, there's talk about would they put him back at left guard, would they put him in right guard. Schwartz, if you look at his track record in terms of the teams that he's been on, whether it be Carolina, Minnesota, Kansas City, he's played a variety of different positions. That's why there's a tremendous amount of value for a player like Jeff Schwartz, because you can move him around, tackle, guard, you name it. So there's options there with respect to Jeff Schwartz. In terms of moving on from J.D. Walton, right now it appears Weston Richburg would be penciled in at the center spot. So he is the second-round pick that they brought in last year out of Colorado State. He'll take over as the every-down center. Remember, they also have Brett Jones, who they signed from the Canadian Football League. He's another option that I'm certainly sure will battle at that center spot come OTAs and come training camp. But Richburg has the experience working for him. So if we pencil in Richburg at the center spot, you have Beedy at left tackle. Left guard, right guard, maybe somewhat up in the air because you don't know what side you're going to put Jeff Schwartz when it's all said and done. Justin Pugh is your right tackle. You could potentially move him to right guard. You also brought back John Jerry. He can certainly be put back at right guard. There's options here, but there's players that can be moved around at a variety of different positions. So would there be a need at one of those positions? Perhaps, depending on how the competition plays out. We're still very early in free agency. The draft is not until very late in April, early May. A lot could change. A lot could be tweaked with respect to the roster. And then needs can change. Now, I always say the conversation changes with respect to need. What we're talking about now, right now, on March 17th, the conversation could be very different a month from now. For all we know, the Giants could make some more maneuvers in terms of free agency, and then you have other options at other positions, and you as a fan, when you're monitoring the players that are out there in the draft, you're saying, you know what, now it appears maybe the Giants would go in this direction. I mean, it's fun from a fan's perspective to do the mix-and-match game to determine, you know, where the Giants would go at number nine, but remember, the conversation could very well change 30 days from now, depending on what other movement we see with respect to the Giants. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat. You can follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Real quickly, before we get back to the fold lines, I always find that the NFC East is interesting to look at what's happening outside of the Giants, because these are the teams that the Giants are going to have to go up against throughout the course of the season. And there's been a lot of movement with respect to the Eagles over the last few days. I'm sure you've heard all the chatter. They reportedly brought in Tim Tebow yesterday for a workout, though according to the reports, they did not sign him. And that obviously sent the entire social media world upside down, which tends to happen whenever you bring up Tim Tebow. But on a more serious note, in terms of some of the X's and O's that they're looking to address, they brought in Byron Maxwell, who I alluded to earlier in the program. Corner is a need for the Eagles, given the fact that Kerry Williams and Bradley Fletcher, their two starters, were let go. Williams is now with the Seattle Seahawks, and Fletcher, I believe, is still a free agent. I have not seen him sign with another team. They have Malcolm Jenkins at that safety spot. So, you know, perhaps like the Giants, like the Redskins, like the Cowboys, secondary is always an area that all of these teams are looking to address, or at least looking to add some depth. Washington brought in Jerron Johnson, who I mentioned was the backup safety for the Seattle Seahawks and a key special teamer. They lost Brandon Merriweather. He's a free agent. Ryan Clark retired. So safety was certainly a need or an area that you figured they were going to try to tackle during the course of free agency. The Cowboys, there's been some rumors, some chatter that perhaps they are talking to Greg Hardy, the free agent from the Carolina Panthers right now. Once again, just purely a game of speculation, nothing of substance there. And Dallas has had some injuries last season. They have tried to shore up their defense. We know they gave the franchise tag to Dez Bryant. DeMarco Murray changed teams. He went from the Cowboys to the Philadelphia Eagles. So there's been a lot of movement in the NFC East, and it makes for a very competitive division. And that is why these divisional battles have been so tight over the last few seasons. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but if memory serves me correct, over the last few years, the division champion has switch gears. You know, one year you have one team, such as the Giants. The next season you have the Eagles and the Cowboys, and that's what makes this division so competitive. And the turnover rate, it's very hard to consistently win a division title because of how these teams beat each other up. And we saw that last season, and I'm sure that's going to be a similar theme moving forward because these teams constantly bring in new talent. There's been some coaching changes across the division, and that's why a lot of these games are tight week in and week out, season in and season out. Let's head back to the phone lines. We'll also continue to monitor Twitter. I will get to your tweets during the course of this program. I know a lot of them are being sent in, so hang tight. We will get to as many tweets as we can. Right now, let's head back to the phone lines, and we check in with Jeff in Rhode Island. Jeff, what's happening?
Hey, buddy. How you doing today?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How about yourself?
Good. I'm doing fine, thanks. I just had, in regards to the free agency signings so far, you know, I like the first two with Vereen and the other kid from the Cowboys. The two linebackers, to me, that's just like a lateral move with the two other guys that we're probably going to let go. The thing to me that's kind of a real head scratcher is we brought that guy Newhouse in last week, and according to Pro Football Focus, he had a minus 11 rating. You know, whatever that's good for. I don't know how credible Pro Football Focus is, but it just makes me kind of scratch my head as to why they'd want to bring this guy in if his rating was, clearly not that good. Obviously, other people must have seen that, and I don't know. What's your impression about the whole
Jeff,
thing?
Well, Jeff, when it comes to ratings and rankings, I personally don't try to get too caught up in that, mainly because when one player moves from one team to another, sometimes they ask him to do some things differently. It's a different system, which maybe is a better fit for his needs and so forth. The way that I look at a player like Marshall Newhouse, I see versatility. I see a player that can play the left tackle. I see a player that can play the right tackle. I see a player that also has a connection to Ben McAdoo, given the fact that he came from the Green Bay Packers. He was also with the Bengals last season. He slid in for Andre Smith, one of their top tackles who went down via injury. So I see versatility, and the common theme with the Giants over the last few years, they always like to have that offensive lineman that can move around. And if you were to look at the offensive lineman right now on the roster, Jeff Schwartz, I think, fits that mold. I would certainly throw Marshall Newhouse into that category as well. You need those type of players because you never know when injuries may strike or some other developments may come into play.
Well, it certainly sounds reasonable when you phrase it like that. Have you heard anything about any impending signings that might happen in the not-too-distant future?
Have not heard anything new with respect to that. And as you know, the Giants are very tight-lipped in terms their willing and dealing, and that's how most teams obviously handle their business. So if you've heard any chatter on social media, I probably have heard the same, but there's no substance or stock behind that. I think, the Giants obviously are exploring their options just as every team is right now. And Jeff, you've been monitoring the NFL for quite some time. You're a passionate Giants fan. Usually the first week, it's a big frenzy. A lot of the big names go off the board. And then as the weeks progress, you have a day here, a day there where maybe you see a name signed with a team. And you'll see probably in a week from now, there'll be a few other guys picked up. But it gets relatively quiet as we move along towards the draft.
Yeah, it does. Well, sometimes it's hard to remain patient.
And, I hear you.
I'm like most Giants fans. I want the whole team to be put together right now.
Understandable.
Not yesterday.
Hey, listen, if we all had a perfect world, Jeff, we wish that week one was next week. I mean, I say, who cares about OTAs at training camp? Let's start football again.
Yeah, right.
Everybody's
exactly,
hungry for football. Absolutely.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, buddy. You have a good day.
Same to you, Jeff. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in. All right, everybody's very active on Twitter. And John, who does a great job monitoring the tweets here for us on Big Blue Kickoff Live, has brought some to my attention. So let's try to get through some of these. And once again, phone lines open at 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. You can directly get to me at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. At Laughboy4, do you know if the Giants have any interest in signing a safety via free agency or through draft picks? That is the main question, and that is a popular discussion with respect to the safety position. I mentioned earlier on this program a few weeks ago that safety would be a position to watch only because the Giants had a number of free agents at that spot. Stevie Brown, Quinton Demps, and Antrell Rowe. So as a result, if you look at who's a free agent, you figure there's bound to be some movement at that position. Antrell Rowe, he has signed with the Chicago Bears. Stevie Brown and Demps are still out there, and the Giants could very well bring back some familiar names who are familiar with the system and have sacrificed their bodies for this team over the last few years. That's still an option because both players are available. There are still a number of safeties who are not associated with the Giants that are out on the market. I know a lot of Giants fans, I usually get tweets every day, are monitoring who's out there. There's certainly a mix of veterans and a mix of young guys, and there are potentially options for the Giants to explore if they choose to go that route. With that being said, I think it's also important to look at the players that are currently on the roster, that being Matt Burhe and Cooper Taylor, two young safeties. Taylor has dealt with his fair share of injuries. He was on IR last season. Matt Burhe was a late-round draft pick who did get some playing time when they mixed around some of the safeties. And he's a hard hitter. He is a key contributor on special teams. And this is one of the things I want to throw out about Matt Burhe. And I think it's prevalent to a conversation that we had at this time last season. I remember talking with a lot of Giants fans about the tight end position all throughout the offseason at this time last year. And what was the common theme? I'd like the Giants to be aggressive in the draft. I'd like them to go after a tight end. I'd like to see them make a big splash in free agency. This was what a lot of fans called in and wrote on Twitter, and it was a big-time conversation. Larry Dinnell was on the roster the entire time. Larry Dinnell got his opportunity this past season, and Larry Dinnell flourished. Larry Dinnell had a number of big offensive games, the Washington Redskins game. He has three touchdowns. He took advantage of his opportunity. If you were to apply that same rationale and that same thought to the safety position, who's to say that Matt Burhe doesn't all of a sudden take advantage of an opportunity that comes his way this season? Now, I understand depth is important. Don't get me wrong. And it's still very early in free agency. And who knows what's going to happen with respect to the draft and with respect to other free agents that are out there or re-signing some of their own. But sometimes you have to look at the options that are on your roster. And Larry Dinnell was on the roster at this time last year. And there wasn't a lot of chatter surrounding his name. Because once again, as I referenced earlier, a lot of people get caught up on the household names when it comes to not just the NFL, any sport. And sometimes there's that player that's itching for that opportunity. And he works hard during the course of practice. Matt Burhe could be that option this season. He's a player that has worked very hard during the course of this season and did get some opportunities late in the year. If you're Matt Burhe and you see that Antrell Rowe has moved on, you see the opportunity staring right at you. It's going to be very interesting to monitor and watch his development this offseason because I think this is a player, as the roster stands right now, once again, conversations change each and every day as movement happens, but as the roster stands right now, Matt Burhe could very well have a golden opportunity ahead of him entering OTAs and training camp, given the fact that he is a young, up-and-coming prospect in this league. Let's head back to the tweets, and we'll also get back to your phone calls, too. At Gruen Ben, Kerry Wynn showed a lot of promise, played really well. He was an undrafted rookie, prototypical size, don't forget about him. And I think that's prevalent to the conversation that we're talking about right now. Kerry Wynn, another player. Remember he beat out Israel Adonijé, was a surprise last-minute addition to the roster at a Richmond. Quiet guy, not a lot of talk when people were starting to determine who's going to make that last cut, who's going to be on the 53-man roster. He had a number of big games, especially late in the season as a result of the injuries. He was thrown in there in the pass rush, and he thrived. Another player We had a phone call earlier on the program talking about the defensive linemen. And I agreed with the caller. I said, look at who's on your roster. Before you start to play the game of speculation, if this guy could come in, what he could do for the team. Win, DeMontre Moore, Jay Bromley. Don't forget about Devon Kennard, who could play on the line and could play the linebacker spot. Now, that's a versatile player. There's a lot of young options on this team. And another offseason underneath their belts, who knows how Spags utilizes these players. Yeah, that's another element to certainly continue to watch. Let's head back to the phone lines. We'll continue to work in your tweets, obviously, as we take you till the top of the hour. James is on the phone line. James, what's happening? James, are you there?
Yes.
James, if you could do me a favor before you talk, you just lower your computer. We're getting some feedback on your end. I just want to be able to hear what you have to say.
Okay, how is that? That's
I hear you loud and clear, James. Appreciate it. What's happening?
Okay, yes, I got a quick question I want to ask you. First of all, I'm out here in Abu Dhabi, so I don't know what's going on too much with Victor Cruz. How is he coming along?
Well, Victor Cruz spoke with Giants.com a few weeks back, says that he is making progress. Tom Coughlin even addressed Victor Cruz's injury when he was at the combine. They seem to be happy. He seems to be happy with his progress. But as you know, whenever a player suffers a serious injury, it's a long road ahead in terms of the recovery. So to put a timetable as to when Victor Cruz is going to return, right now that would be purely speculation. But certainly the team and Victor Cruz himself, quite optimistic in terms of the progress.
Okay, now, I see the Giants picked up offensive lineman. They re-signed John Jerry. Do you think, I'm thinking now it's a possibility the Giants may go after one of these wide receivers just in case, Cruz can't, get back at the start of the season. I can see that happening. What do you think?
Well, James, I would argue that I think they have a lot of depth at that position. If Victor Cruz may not be 100%, as you're alluding to, come the time of training camp or OTAs, they re-signed Kevin Ogletree. You have Corey Washington, Reuben Randall certainly continuing to hopefully piggyback off of what he showed late in the season. You also have Marcus Harris, who I referenced earlier in the show. If you recall, his name had a very good training camp last year, unfortunately got hurt, went on IR, and you have Preston Parker too. So there's a number of options that I think they have in addition to Victor Cruz, who they could certainly turn to in a pinch.
Okay, that's cool. Well, I think the Vin Vereen was a good pickup, and that's all I got to say. I keep on watching, and I'll reach out to you guys a little later on.
Well, first of all, James, just want to say we appreciate you following the team from abroad. Thanks so much, and hopefully we'll continue to hear from you. James weighing in on Giants.com here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Another player I should throw in that wide receiver conversation is Dwayne Harris, who they signed from the Dallas Cowboys and didn't get a great deal of experience as a wide receiver because he was playing behind so many different options in Dallas, mainly a special teams contributor. But who knows? Perhaps an opportunity can present itself here with the Giants, given the fact that there's going to be a lot of guys getting reps, you assume, during the course of OTAs and training camp, since Victor Cruz is probably not going to be 100% and go full go by the time OTAs happen. Like anything else with respect to an injury, you look at John Beeson, a player is worked along slowly and progressively so that he's 100% by the time the start of the season comes along. Let's head back to the phone lines. Robert is in Atlanta. Robert, what's happening?
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well, Robert. How about yourself?
I'm doing good.
What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to ask you about Greg Hardy and what you think the possibilities are of the New York Giants looking into signing him.
Well, I haven't heard anything in terms of reports, and obviously the Giants don't comment if they are talking to a specific free agent. I could talk about Greg Hardy as an individual player and what I've seen out of him during the course of his tenure with the Carolina Panthers. He's one of the top pass rushers in the league. Some off-the-field issues have overshadowed his play recently. Last season, obviously, wasn't on the field. He was put on the commissioner's exempt list. He's supposedly getting some looks around the league. But then again, I think, Robert, you have to look at the Giants' current roster. And they have a number of options on the D-line. They drafted a few guys last season. I don't know if that's necessarily a prevalent need right now as it stands. And you don't know how somebody like that is going to demand on the market in terms of the finances. That's another thing that certainly the Giants, like any other team, need to weigh. How much flexibility do we have in the cap, and how much would that one player in particular eat up what we have left in the cap?
True. Quick question for you. If you were going to say your one or two choices for the draft, who do you personally like to or consider the Giants might take?
Well, I certainly will tackle that, Robert, and appreciate the phone call. In terms of the draft, now, I like to focus more on position than individual player. And the reason I say that is because stocks go up and down between now and the draft when it comes to perhaps who looks like a hot commodity now versus how we may be talking about that specific player a little bit later on. Offensive line would be a position where I think the Giants can't hurt themselves if they were to add some depth. And Brandon Scherff out of Iowa, who I referenced earlier in the program, is an intriguing player. Based on the reports, based on the scouting reports, he seems to be a player that you move him into an NFL system, he'll be ready to go. And he would be able to translate his skill set from college to the pros and can play the tackle position, which is perhaps an area that the Giants may have an opening if, and I preface it with a big if perhaps Justin Pugh is moved around on the offensive line. So that you could see maybe, hey, you need a young guy at the right tackle spot to insert. So that may present itself as a need. I could see that player being a target. In terms of the back end at the safety spot, while right now it may present itself as a need, I don't know at number 9 if you're going to get a big game-changing type of safety at that spot. I think most of the safeties that are in this draft pool are probably going to go a little bit later on in the first round or perhaps even in the second round. You look at last season's draft, for example, HaHa Clinton Dix, who was taken by the Green Bay Packers. He was a late first-round pick. And what, Calvin Pryor, who the Jets took out of Louisville. You know, those were two of the most prevalent safeties last year, but they weren't top 10 draft picks. So I don't think that that would be a position that the Giants would target at number 9, even though you look at the roster, it may present itself right now as a need, at least in terms of the depth chart. So the offensive line would be one area. And then, you know, if you choose to go at the defensive line position, there's a few tackles, there's a few pass rushers. I think a lot is going to determine how this quarterback situation plays out, who potentially may fall to the Giants at number 9, who plays the line. Because right now there's speculation Jameis Winston would go number 1 to Tampa Bay, but then there's the mystery of Marcus Mariota. Would a team trade up? Would Tennessee take him and then shop him? Because if Mariota goes early, let's say hypothetically, let's say Mariota goes in the top 5. And once again, just playing the game of speculation here. Then there's a player who maybe the Giants didn't think was going to fall to them, all of a sudden has an opportunity because nobody necessarily anticipated two quarterbacks to go within the top 10. So that could really change the conversation. You think about Danny Shelton from Washington. He's an interior guy that would come to the forefront. Then again, who knows if he's going to be around come the number 9 spot. But that would be a player that has intrigue, certainly has a presence inside. The one thing, though, about Shelton, has not played a great deal of football prior to this past season. And his stock skyrocketed from where he was when he was a little bit younger in his collegiate career. And sometimes that happens with any prospect. You have a breakout campaign, and all of a sudden, you go from being a middle-round pick to now a top 15 pick. And that's what happened with respect to Shelton. A few of the other linebacker-slash-defensive-end jack-of-all-trade guys, it'll be interesting to see if they fall or if they go perhaps a little bit later on, depending on how their stocks play out. And how would a player like that fit Spags' system? I think that's certainly another intriguing conversation to have. You've got a Devon Kennard right now on the roster. Now, Kennard is that linebacker slash defensive lineman. He's the guy that you can mix and match. You know, would the Giants want to bring in another player like that? There's huge benefits to that because you can move him around at a variety of different positions. Or do they want a player who they know, hey, we're going to bring him in as a linebacker, he's going to be a linebacker because we feel we have other options at the defensive line, like the wins that we threw out earlier in the program, the DeMondre Moores and so forth. Let's head back to the phone lines here at 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. I'm Lance Meadow with you for the next 60 minutes. We take you up till the top of the hour. Glad you could join us for Tuesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Dre is in Atlanta. Dre, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, Lance? How you doing?
I'm doing well, Dre. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. You know, you're the only one of the three that doesn't have a nickname. You got P-Dot, you got Big John or John Boy, or your L Boogie. How's that?
Hey, I could go with that. That's fine. I've been called far worse. I'll tell you that, Dre. So continue.
You know, I'm looking at the NFL landscape, and I'm looking internally. You know, do we still have Bennett Jackson or Bennett Taylor from Notre Dame, the cornerback?
Yes, he was on the practice squad last year, designated for injury because he was hurt. He is still very much in the mix on the roster.
Now, Devin McCourty came in the league out of Rutgers as a cornerback, was converted into a safety, and was pretty successful there. Based on Bennett's size, based on his size, do you think he may be a project safety for us?
Who are we talking about, Bennett Jackson? You're talking about converting him?
Yes.
I certainly think he has the build, and it's a good question to throw out there. We've seen a number of different corners move over to the safety position and vice versa, and that could very well be something that the Giants would be willing to experiment in. I think when they've had three safeties in the past, they were given that flexibility, you know, with a player like Deion Grant, who could be moved around. He could come back down to the box as a linebacker, and then you could move him back into the secondary as a safety. That may be something that the Giants explore. They may look at the depth at corner, and they may say to themselves, you know what? Maybe we can look at bringing a player over to the safety position. I certainly would keep that open as an option, and I think that it's an intriguing storyline to monitor.
You know, because I can look at the fact that based on his size and look at the other than what I saw of him at Notre Dame, you know, we need our safeties to be able to be that center fielder just in case someone gets beat deep, can sit down there at that cover. But, you know, we need somebody with a little bit of speed that can take care of some of these premier tight ends. And I think, you know, you can sit down there and work on that.
Well, if you look at Bennett Jackson compared to Nat Burhe, very similar. You know, they're both 6 feet tall. They're both within the 190s. So my only thing would be, you know, would the Giants say to themselves, if we were to explore with Bennett Jackson, is he too similar to what Nat Burhe brings to the table? And if we're looking for another safety, we want maybe somebody more in the mold of a Cooper Taylor, who's a little bit bigger, who can come down to the box and play like a linebacker. That would be only a preliminary thought that I would throw out. You know, if you wanted to, let's say, put a Nat Burhe with another safety, are they too similar in terms of body build to explore that route?
Well, we can look at, you can still have the same body build, but look at Ryan Clark. He wasn't the biggest guy, but he was a head basher, you know, coming down in the box.
Well, even a guy...
Continue,
I'm listening, Dre.
Based on the skill set, if you have, say, Bennett Jackson is pretty much your finesse tackler, but he's good in space, you know, with your slots and your tight ends, but then you have Nat Burhe, the missile, that's a hitter, you know, you can pretty much have the same body type on the field, but different skill sets.
Well, it would be interesting to see if they go in that direction. Another guy that I was going to throw out, because you were referring to smaller safeties who are hard hitters, Earl Thomas from the Seattle Seahawks. He's only about 5'10", and he's a very physical player, plays much bigger than his physicality presents. So that could certainly be an option if they chose to go in that route. And appreciate the phone call, Dre. Thanks so much for chiming in. You look at other players who were at least on the roster last season that could have maybe chipped in and played the safety spot, you know, some of the cornerbacks, it's hard to say whether or not some of these other corners would have been able to make the transition from safety. I mean, right now I think it's a fun game to play, but in reality, whether or not that would have happened, I mean, can you look at DRC? I mean, given his height, could you throw him over as a safety? I mean, he's certainly a big guy. Would he be comfortable playing that spot? You know, that would be somebody else that perhaps you can go down the route of exploration if the Giants wanted to find some other internal options. You know, Zach Bowman was on the roster last season. He's a free agent right now. You know, he had experience at safety and corner. So that would be a player. You know, if you come into the Giants and you have played both positions, it's much easier to make the transition from that standpoint. Let's head back to the phone lines here. John is in Manhattan. John, what's happening?
Yeah, how are you?
I'm doing well, John. How about yourself?
Is this Lance?
Yes, it is.
Lance, you're doing a great job. I wanted to tell you that first off.
Appreciate that, John. Good to have you aboard. What do you have for us?
Lance, in keeping with the same subject matter, it seems like all the Giants fans have their sort of finger on the pulse, if you will. What's the health status? It's a couple-part question. What's the health status of Stevie Brown?
Well, Stevie Brown last season came back after tearing his ACL the previous season.
Right.
And, I mean, he was in and out of the lineup. There was certainly an adjustment period. But in terms of health, at least from what I've heard, I don't think there's any question marks in terms of his health.
Well, if that's the case, which, you know, cause I'm a big, supporter of his. I think he did great that year, and then he got injured. And now if the organization is behind him, why aren't they considering, maybe they are, and that's why we're talking to people like you on the radio show, why aren't they considering plugging Brown in? And if he's not the answer to the safety question, is there any talk in the organization about taking the ninth pick, since there's really nobody worthy in a safety position at that pick, and trading that pick to get an NFL-ready safety?
Well, I think that if you were to give up the ninth pick for an NFL-ready safety, I mean, given how high that pick is, John, if we were to play the game of speculation, I mean, you would assume you could get much more in return than just one individual player.
Maybe a couple of other picks.
Correct. I mean, absolutely. And that could be an option. Remember, you know, the Giants are not necessarily going to go out publicly and tell you, you know, what they're exploring.
Right, right.
To answer your question, it's always an option. I mean, you could always look to explore the trade. And I brought up earlier in the program, you know, Stevie Brown is still out there. So, for all we know, the Giants may bring him back. He's familiar with the organization, vice versa. Quinton Demps is another guy who was on the team last year. He's still out there. He's a free agent. There are players that were in this system last year that are still viable options who could very well come back in, and then they give a guy like Cooper Taylor and Nat Burhe an opportunity, and you pair a veteran with a young prospect. I could very well see that playing out.
Right. I was a little concerned when I heard the statement from our departed Antrell Roll, when he said that, you know, and I believe he's a pretty honest guy, even though he went to another team. We all understand the economics of the NFL. But that being said, you know, he said that there's really nobody that's going to fill that role that's presently on the team. He essentially said that. And I think the Giants really need to, if Stevie Brown is 100% healthy, they need to show confidence in him and put him in there. And in another question in connected indirectly, if you will, is what is the health of Jeff Schwartz on the offensive line? Because obviously, if he's 100% coming back, that could, you know, they don't necessarily have to go after an offensive lineman at the ninth pick, and they could help the defense, you know, even further, maybe in the tackle position or the safety, you know?
Well, Schwartz is making progress, to answer your question, John. I appreciate the phone call. He's very active on Twitter, for those of you who may follow him. So he's always showing pictures in his rehab process and the activities that he does off the field. Jeff Schwartz, certainly a great personality here on the Giants roster. And he's making progress in terms of getting back to full health. From what I hear, I'm sure the Giants would anticipate that he'll be out there for OTAs, barring hopefully no setbacks in terms of his rehab. Obviously, he was hurt all the way back in the preseason of last year, and then obviously re-aggravated an injury once he came back for that spot start against the Dallas Cowboys. But they envision him being very well back in the mix, and he can play both guard positions. So he is penciled in as somebody who's going to get opportunities on the offensive line, and that would give them either depth or a guy that perhaps they insert into a position that he didn't necessarily play last season. But to answer your question, he's going to be in the mix, and that is somebody that they're certainly banking on coming back next season. That doesn't mean, though, that they wouldn't necessarily target an offensive lineman at number 9. So, I mean, I think it's important to understand, and you've heard Giants management talk about this time and time again, best player available. If the best player available at 9 is an offensive lineman and they feel that they can help the team, and, you know, you're looking at the roster and you say, well, you know, it appears the Giants have plenty of depth there, they're not going to shy away from taking an offensive lineman. Because once again, you can never have depth at enough positions. And we've seen that happen before, where sometimes they may take a player and it's just a matter of the rich getting richer at that position. So you rotate. You always find ways to put talent in a game. And the Giants are no different than some other teams. If you have a good player that you draft at number 9 and certainly a number 1 pick, you are envisioning that player coming in year 1 making an impact. With respect to Odell Beckham last year, you know, if you looked at the roster, wide receiver was in need because Hakeem Nicks left via free agency. But there were other positions where I'm sure the Giants were exploring on bringing in another option. Odell Beckham, you find a way to get him on the field. And they got him on the field, and they're certainly not regretting any of those maneuvers. Derek is in Atlanta. Derek, what's happening?
And they're certainly not regretting any of those
Derek, maneuvers. If you could lower your computer, we are all up on the air and ready for you. So what do you got for us?
Hey, how you doing today?
Doing well, Derek. How's everything with you?
I'm not trying to say you sound like Pat Hamlin, Lance, but you don't have any concerns with all these. You know, everybody, you have an answer for every position, but the rookies, backups, you don't have any concerns about any of this?
Concerns in terms of what? I mean, what exactly are you alluding to? Can you give me a position? Can you give me an exact situation here? I mean, that's a general statement to make, Derek. So,
concerns about the holes that's on this team, like an offensive line, a guard, a defensive run-stopping tackle, a side linebacker, a starting, maybe one or two starting safeties, maybe a possible wide receiver replacement or fill-in.
Let's first tackle. You threw out a lot here. I mean, we might as well just break down the entire 53-man roster. Let's start with wide receiver. What's the concern with wide receiver, though? I mean, as I threw out, I mean, there's a number of options that are going to fight for roster spots here.
Cruz is running with partial weight in the machine right now. I mean, he still has to get full weight, run. Start studying everything.
Well, Derek, though, it's March 17th, though, the last time I checked. I mean, the season doesn't start till September. We got a lot of months to go, don't we?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a notable.
You're a little bit more optimistic than everybody else I hear.
Well, Derek,
even the other professionals.
It's a notable injury. I mean, nobody's going to try to backpedal in terms of that. I mean, we're talking about the patellar tendon, and I don't need to be a doctor. I don't need to have done the research. You could go online, too, and you could see other athletes in other sports that have dealt with that injury. I mean, it's not a joke, and it's a serious injury, and Victor Cruz would be the first one to tell you that. But in terms of talking about where he is in March compared to where he may be when the start of the season comes along, I mean, who knows? I mean, he could be 100% and ready to go. That's why right now it's so premature to start thinking about, you know, where he's at in terms of his progress when who knows what he's going to look like come late August, late September. Every player is different in terms of how they recover from an injury like that.
Well, I mean, I don't think we have a starting guard. I think we're missing a starting guard. I think we're missing a run-stopping defensive tackle.
What about Jonathan Hankins? What about Jonathan Hankins, Derek? What's wrong with Jonathan Hankins?
I mean, Jonathan Hankins is a starter on tackle, but he's not the starter on the other one. And I don't think he'd bring Colin Jenkins back in to fill in as a day one starter. I think in his career right now, he's more of a role player. He's probably, his snaps will probably be limited. I mean, we couldn't stop the run with those two guys last year. So why would you go into the season thinking we could stop them this year?
Well, but they could draft a defensive tackle. That is a possibility. Number nine, they could take a defensive tackle. Can't they?
Yeah. Then what are you going to do at weak side linebacker? What are you going to do at safety? What are you going to do at offensive lineman?
Well,
what I'm trying to say, Lance, is that we have a lot of holes right now, and the draft can't be the only answer that we have.
Well, the draft is one facet, but look at last year's draft and think about how many impactful players that they got out of last year's draft. So, you know, right now the draft seems like it's miles and miles away, but there were a number of players that even came in the late rounds that had an impact. Devon Kennard was a fifth-round pick. Devon Kennard had a great deal of experience last year. Andre Williams was a fourth-round pick. He started a great deal of games because Rashad Jennings got hurt. So for all we know, a lot of the late-round picks could be impactful players again. I mean, that could very well happen. With respect to safety, they only have two safeties on the roster right now. So for you to say that you have a concern or at least you'd like to see them add more depth, I don't think that that's jumping the gun there. You assume they're going to add more safeties into the mix. Very unlikely you're going to go into a season with two safeties. So we would assume either through the draft or a free agent, whether it be somebody that was on the team last year or somebody that wasn't on the team, is going to come aboard because you also want additional competition at that position. And then in terms of linebacker, I'll let you continue. I didn't mean to cut you off, Derek. In terms of linebacker, Devon Kennard, as I mentioned, will probably step into a starting role this season. They just brought in two linebackers, keep in mind, too. So they have addressed that position in free agency to at least have some depth and competition there.
nothing. So what I'm going to say is that, no, I agree. Unless you're going to go and kind of, I think you would have to reach for Landon Collins at 9. But he only qualified, really, safety that could come in and probably make an impact on his team. Now you're talking about maybe bringing in the 3rd round, 4th round, 5th round safety. What kind of communication are you going to have back with a couple of two-year players and a rookie 4th or 3rd round draft pick? I mean, I think JT Thomas is going to fill in for decent or be maybe a middle or strong side linebacker. He can fill in these both these spots. But there's no weak side linebacker on our team.
Well, listen, Jameel McClain's on the roster. Who knows what they're going to determine to do with him. I mean, that's always
an
option.
He's not a weak side linebacker.
Well, but Devon, what I'm saying is I think they're going to mix and match guys, which they've done in the past. And that's what they have done in terms of the competition at training camp. Just because there's a guy that only looks like he can play one position, who knows how they utilize him? I mean, Spags may envision a linebacker who's been primarily used on one side. He may envision using him on another side. I think it's very early in the game to go in that direction. And JT Thomas, who you referenced, you know, he's a player that's been utilized in a variety of different positions at the linebacker spot. I mean, I think there's potential where you could maybe throw him into all 3 spots, depending on how OTAs and training camp plays out. You know, he's a very versatile player, and he's a young player who I think would be quick to adapt to a new position if they choose to go that route.
I'll deal with that, Lance. It's just that, you know, that's why you hear the Twitter is blowing up and most, TV shows are like, what are we doing at these positions? I think it's a concern, and I think, you know, the answer you know, the draft is going to, you know, be the answer. And, I mean, for safety, there's really no – I mean, unless we bring in Stevie Brown back and then project him to be a strong safety, I mean, the safeties are kind of even out there, kind of like weak-side safeties, not even strong safeties. So, you know, it's just a concern to fans. You know, I know we can get concerned a lot and it's early, but – when we look at the options and look at the holes, they don't seem to add up. And I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Derek. Appreciate the phone call. And once again, I understand that safety is a big topic of discussion, given the fact that there were a number of free agents at that position and Antrell Roll left to go to the Bears. But, you know, there's still 2 players that were with the team last year that could very well be re-signed. And the draft is certainly another spot that you could go in. Earlier in the program, we talked about perhaps the conversation about converting a corner to safety is another option that they could look to. It's still very early in the game. We're only into the 2nd week of free agency. And they could very well go after another player that nobody's hearing any chatter about in the upcoming weeks. And they could plug in that hole and add more depth through the draft. Remember, the draft is late April, early May. And stocks rise and fall between then and now. So you never know how the conversation is going to play out. Real quickly, before we wrap up the show, just want to take a look at some more of your tweets to see if we can throw out a few of your questions, and then we will wrap up the program. At Quick32, we were talking about Bennett Jackson. Bennett Jackson converted from wide receiver to corner at Notre Dame. Perhaps he can do it again. So there you go. You have some versatility out of Bennett Jackson, and that could bode well for him if they think that maybe he is suited to be a safety come the shakeup of the roster, or the makeup of the roster, I should say, when they start to wind things down as they get closer to the 53. Take a look at some of the other tweets that you have sent out here. At SunnyBoy2323, do you think with us having the 9th pick of the draft, there isn't top 10 talent and we should move back? We've seen a lot of trades during the course of the draft. However, with that being said, you look at the Giants' track record in round 1, haven't seen many trades for them. That doesn't mean that track record can't be broken heading into this season. It all depends on what a team is willing to offer you. If you could get a few more draft picks, you get a big-time playmaker, I'm sure that would be something that they would be willing to explore. But there's a number of options that are going to be there at number 9. We're talking about a top 10 pick. You know, let's not forget about that. And even though safety may be a big topic of discussion, as we've talked about in great detail, great length on this show, the Giants could very well see another area that they could bolster at number 9. And I can certainly see them getting a playmaker at number 9 when it's all said and done. So that's going to wrap up the program here. Any tweets that I didn't get to, I will certainly look to address off the air. You continue to send them in using hashtag Giants Chat, and you can follow and interact with me directly at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Continue to check out Giants.com for our March Madness bracket, where you could vote for the top 16 plays that have occurred at MetLife Stadium. We are in round 1. It is underway, so continue to check that out. We will reveal the results as they play out here on Giants.com. Big Blue Kickoff Live is with you each and every weekday at noon Eastern here on Giants.com. We'll be back up and rolling tomorrow, as well as each and every weekday the rest of the week. Lance Meadow signing off. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. We'll speak to you later on. Have a good one.
Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Jackson on the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Want to get no punt.